Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. They have a broadcast which comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their broadcast is Turn on the Light Broadcast. Turn on the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And they're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where their leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith and Bishop Kevin Jones is the lead pastor. They have services every Sunday at 9 a.m., starting with Sunday school, and 10 a.m. is the worship service. Every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., they also have Bible studies. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. So I thank you once again for calling in. Hope you had a wonderful, blessful, restful night as you lay down and rested before the Lord. Amen. He's blessed us to see another day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song to set the atmosphere.
Man, I consider my life nothing. If I could just finish the race and complete the job the Lord Jesus gave me. I live to tell the world his message. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed. I ain't ashamed.
We sold out. Seeking God's face till we fold out. We want it, we got it. We ain't trying to hold out. Break me, shake me, mold me. I'd rather die like Christ than live unholy. We sold out. Seeking God's face till we fold out.
Jesus Christ, if you rubber spinners on the wheels of expensive cars. Man, I do this for the folk that like to lift their arms. Praise the God who gave his life so he could give us ours. Man, I do this for the blocks in the hood.
Praise the Lord. I hope some of you are still here. That is what some may call gospel rap. And it relates to the message today. We will find that later on. But we've been doing a teaching. This is the third part of a teaching called Faithlessness versus Faithfulness. Faithlessness versus Faithfulness. And we've been talking about the different characteristics, the natures and the personalities of God and Satan. Last week we spoke about God, the Father, being the Father of truth, and Satan, the devil, being the father of lies. And we established that faithlessness equals an unbeliever, and faithfulness equals a believer. So the question was, from the title, Generation F, what generation are you of? Are you a faithless generation or faithful generation? So this is going to be the third teaching under the title, Faithlessness versus Faithfulness. And this morning we're going to be coming out of the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, starting at verse 9. And if you know me, you know I love reading to establish a foundation and get an understanding of what the passage is talking about. Amen. So we're going to come out of 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, starting at verse 9. And it reads, "For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the ox. Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or said he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth shall plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That's the mentality that Paul had. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Verse 19 says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. I want us to really pay attention to these next verses. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Last verse. And this I do for the gospel's sake. So everything that was just said, this is the reason that he pointed everything out. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. The subtitle of the message this morning is Your Method versus the Message. Your Method versus the Message. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come once again into your presence, to sit at your feet, God, to sit on your bosom, to hear your heartbeat. Father, we thank you for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light, for changing us, God, for making us new, God, new creatures, new creations, and for giving us a purpose to do what you called us to do. Father, thank you, Lord, for your son, Jesus, who said, give me a body. I'll go down. And I'll sacrifice my life. I'll be the example that they may have access to you in heaven. Thank you for Holy Spirit, who's the teacher, the comforter. Thank you for your angels, God, you have charged to be encamped around about us, to protect us and keep us in their care, to watch over us daily, to fight off all the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, Father, as we receive your word, equip us, encourage us, enlighten us, and help us to go out and do what you called us to do, to be the salt of the earth, to be the light of the world. We thank you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Your method versus the message. I want to read the base scripture coming out of Romans 3rd chapter, Romans 3 and 4. Romans 3rd chapter, verses 3 and 4. I'm going to read it first out of the King James Version and then the Amplified Bible. And it reads, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. That's the King James Version. Now I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible. It says, what if some did not believe and were without faith? Does their lack of faith and their faithlessness nullify and make ineffective and void the faithfulness of God and his fidelity to his word? That's what the title, Faithlessness versus Faithfulness, comes from. The faithlessness of man versus the faithfulness of God. So I'm going to read it again. What if some did not believe and were without faith? Does their lack of faith and their faithlessness nullify and make ineffective and void the faithfulness of God and his fidelity to his word? By no means. Let God be found true, though every human being is false and a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified and shown to be upright in what you say, and prevail when you are judged by sinful men. Let God be true, every man be a liar. So we've been talking about faithlessness versus faithfulness. And the subtitle this morning, Your Method Versus the Message. So we're going to talk about the word method this morning. And I mentioned the song that was played. The title of the song is Sold Out. Not S-O-L-D, but S-O-U-L-E-D, Sold Out, by a man named Lecrae. And I hope that we were able to understand some of the lyrics, because though it was a different method than what we normally hear, it was still the same message of sharing the gospel of Christ. And so we have to understand the different times and seasons and the generations that we're in. As last week we pointed out, Generation F. Well, some may say the next generation, or Generation X, the millennial generation. But it's either a faithless generation or a faithful generation. Either or. Either you're an unbeliever or you're a believer. So the question is, which one are you? So let's talk about the word method. Method, a systematic procedure, technique, or mode of inquiry employed by or proper to a particular discipline or art. A lot of musicians are called artists because it's the skill, it's the talent, the ability, or the art that God has blessed them with. And we know that God is the original artist, our Father, who art in heaven. He's the original artist. He drew the world, sculpted, created, painted, all of creation with his infinite mind and with his powerful words. So, being an artist is part of our God-given nature. The question is, how are you using your God-given nature? How are you using the art, skill, the ability, the talent, the gifts that God has given you? Method, a systematic plan followed in presenting material for instruction. A way, technique, or process of or for doing something. I want to read that one again. A way, technique, or process of or for doing something, a body of skills or techniques. We are all members of one body, the body of Christ. Think of a body. If you look at your body now, you have hands, you have feet, you have arms, you have fingers, you have eyes, you have ears. Every part of our body has its own function, has its own way of doing things. But its sole purpose is that we can get things done as a whole. If my stomach is crying out for food, well, my hand, my fingers have to grab the food that my arm stretched out to get. And then once I grab it, I have to rely on my arm to bring my hand that the food is in up to my mouth. And then the function of my mouth is to chew it, and my throat is to swallow it. So every part, every member of my body has a sole purpose. And that purpose is to serve. Serving each other. I want us to keep that in mind. Method, an orderly arrangement, development or classification, a plan. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14 chapter. 1 Corinthians 14 chapter. I'm going to read verse 40. And it reads, let all things be done decently and in order. Let all things be done decently and in order. So that's the key. Whatever the plan is, whatever the method is it being done decently and in order? Method, the habitual practice of orderliness and regularity. Not in a traditional sense or denominational, because we can get in certain habits where it becomes just basic routine. Where the salt has lost its savor. So, even in our plans, even in our methods, we still have to see God. So that it would always be fresh. That's why a lot of times we hear, God, give us a fresh anointing. There was a song that said, like the dew in the morning, gently rest upon my all. See, every morning there's a dew to refresh. So that's the purpose of a fresh anointing. Method, a dramatic technique by which an actor seeks to gain complete identification with the inner personality of the character being portrayed. Now, I want to point this out. We are not entertainers putting on a show to get an applause or a pat on the back. But we are servants and slaves. I wanted to pause when I said servants and slaves. Sold out. Remember, S-O-U-L-E-D. Sold out to Jesus Christ for one purpose or goal. To seek and to save that which is lost. Now, mention the word servants and slaves. Now, when we look at that word in a sense of being representatives of Christ, the word doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S, a Greek word, and the meaning is a freed slave who chooses to serve. A freed slave who chooses to serve. When we think about the days of slavery, you know, slaves were servants of their masters. But once the slaves were freed, you had those who left and went on to pursue their dreams, to build their houses, and to get away from the land that they were slaves on. But you had those who, though they were free, still chose to stay on that land and serve as free slaves. Though they were free, they still chose to serve. And when we look at that mentality, we have to look at it in the sense of gratitude. Because when we look at us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we all are bought with a price. And that price is the blood of Jesus. So though we were servants and slaves under sin, now that we've been freed from the bondage of sin, we still choose to serve. But the mentality is different. Because now we're servants of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Not a taskmaster that's beating and whipping us. but rewarding us. Because whatever we do for the kingdom of God, it's like a deposit into our heavenly bank account. And we don't work for things in the kingdom of God, but we work for the purpose of just showing our gratitude to God. Because you saved me. For me to show my appreciation, I'm going to do all I can to share what you did for me, to share what Jesus did for me, so that somebody else may be free from the bondage of sin. And how do we do that? Through the method, the ways, the talents, the skills, the abilities, the gifts that God has given us. Your method versus the message. Let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans 12. We're going to start at verse 1. Your method versus the message. Romans 12, verse 1, and it reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So, because of what God did for us, our reasonable service, our way of showing our appreciation, our gratitude, and our thanks is to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, that might sound like an oxymoron, living sacrifice. But Paul said, I die daily. But the purpose is to get to the place of humility where it's not about us, but it's all about our Heavenly Father. It's all about the message. To be holy and acceptable unto God. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world. And be not conformed to this world. I wanted to pause there because when you look at the church today, some of the mentality is they feel like they have to change in order to reach certain people. But we have to be careful when we're using certain methods. Because we've all been given certain talents and skills and abilities and gifts. And so we are to use those specific gifts to glorify God, not to try to be like somebody else. Because the purpose is to preach Jesus and Him crucified. So if we're preaching Jesus and Him crucified, that being the method has to also line up with the message. So the method can change the message. The method can change the message. So we have to be careful with what method that we're using. So I'm going to read that again. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, a lot of us came from certain areas, so to speak, in the world. Certain places, we've been called out of those dark places into His marvelous light. So He's shown us a different way, a better way. And so when we've been sent back into those dark places that God has called us out of, is not to conform back to those certain ways that we were living before we got saved. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the word perfect, y'all know how I am with that word. The word perfect does not mean sinless. The word perfect means to be complete, a fulfillment. And in. See, when God challenged Satan concerning Job, and he asked him, "Have you considered my servant Job a perfect man?" He wasn't meaning that he was a sinless man, a man without sin. He meant that he was a complete man, that he was fulfilled because he stayed in the presence of God. Job was a worshiper. Every day he got up to worship God. He stayed in His presence. So that's what made him perfect. That's what made him complete. That's what made him fulfilled. Just wanted to point that out. Because a lot of people shy from that word, perfect. Let's continue. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's called pride. And remember, our goal is to walk in humility, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So, what did he do for you? What did he call you out of? How did he save you? See, when we think about that measure of faith, of what he did for us, it causes us to walk in humility. It causes us to think soberly. It causes us to be mindful of where we were to where we are. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Remember the example I gave regarding the body. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. These are all different gifts. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. See, now we're getting into the method. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love. Honor preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. And here's the sole purpose. Serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. That's the bottom line. See, that's why we can't get caught up in ourselves. That's why we can't make our own plans. In all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. So we can't lean to our own understanding. We must go to God and say, God, this is the type of culture or the type of setting that I'm in. How do you want me to share your message? That must be our approach. So the method is representing God. That's the method. Representing God. That's helping us stay focused on how we present, how we approach, or how we share the message. So the method is representing God. The message is representing God. That's the message. Representing God. So who is God? God is love. God is peace. God is joy. So that's the message. The method is representing God. The message is representing God. Now let's go to St. Matthew's. St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. We're going to end here. St. Matthew 10, starting at verse 5. Your method versus the message. St. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, and it reads, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Be not conformed to the world. Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not. See, wherever we go, we have to make sure that we're sent, not just going. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's the message. Represent God. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. These are the methods. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Verse 9 says, provide neither gold nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staff, for the workman is worthy of his meat. So God is saying, if you do what I've called you to do, I will take care of you. If you do what I've called you to do, I will take care of you. And verse 16 says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So there's your method. Paul said, to the Jew I became a Jew, that I may win the Jews. So, I call it understanding and adjusting. Understanding where you are and adjusting so that you may win those that you are around. Not conforming to their ways. Because we still have to honor God. We still have to live a godly life. So, yes, we're sheep in the midst of wolves, but God has given us wisdom. He's given us different methods. But the message is the same. Preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, seeking and saving that which is lost. Preaching Christ crucified. That's the message. So whatever your gift is, whatever your talent is, whatever your skills or abilities are, use those methods to glorify God, that the message of salvation will be preached. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for understanding. Now, Father, use us for your glory. Use the methods that you've given us to share the message of salvation. We thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Your method versus the message. Love you. God bless you.